Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, our text this morning is the Holy Gospel, which you have heard read. And I begin this morning with a question for you. What is the most misquoted Bible verse in the whole Bible? You're right, it's 1 Timothy 6:10. You know what it is, and you probably misquote it. Let me read it for you. Heriza gar panton ton kakon esten ha phil algorion. That's what it says in the Greek. And this is important because this is how it translates. A root indeed of all kinds of evils is the love of money. And one of the fruits of this root is materialism, sometimes known as greed. If you're in a Bible class this morning, this is the subject of our Bible class. But I had a secondary title, and this was the title. Some people are so poor, all they have is money. Now, to the world, that phrase is lunacy. That's crazy talk. But in God's sight, it's true. So today, that's what we'll be discussing. We'll be discussing the parable of the rich fool and why this rich man was such a fool. It truly is vanity of vanities, as Solomon has written for us there in Ecclesiastes. And what does Solomon write? May I remind you? I hated all my toil, which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must give it to the man who will come after me. Vanities of vanity. Yes, dear ones, farmers here in our congregation, men here of our congregation, in your will, you have someone deemed who will receive all that you have worked for, and you have no idea what they will do with it after you're dead and gone. This is exactly what Solomon's talking about. Here is Solomon, the richest man in the whole world. And what happened? His sons divided it, and they lost every single dime. Israel was cast into chaos and into sin, and ultimately taken into exile in Assyria and Babylon. Vanity of vanities. This is the foolishness of greed. This is the foolishness of materialism. In our text this morning, Jesus is teaching. And as he is teaching about the Pharisees and hypocrisy, a man in the crowd shouts out to him, and he wants Jesus to be a judge and an arbitrator between he and his brother because they are fighting over their inheritance. Sound familiar? He asked Jesus to be a judge and an arbitrator, but Jesus refuses. Man, who made me or who appointed me to be your judge and your arbitrator? Jesus then warns the man and everyone who could hear him something very, very important for you and me. One's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. One's life does not consist in the abundance of one's possessions. Seems to me that there is two commandments that speak against this. And since we've been using our small catechism, let's use it one more time. Turn with me to page 4 and to page 5, and let's review the 9th and 10th commandment. The 9th and 10th commandment as printed on page 4 and 5. The 9th commandment, let's read together. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. What does this mean? We should fear and love God that we may not craftily seek to get our neighbor's inheritance or house, nor obtain it by show of right, but help and be of service to him in keeping it. The 10th commandment. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his cattle, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. What does this mean? We should fear and love God that we may not estrange, force, or entice away from our neighbor, his wife, servants, or cattle, but urge them to stay and do their duty. One's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. My friends, did you notice, though, in our text, that Jesus never says, that it is a sin to be rich or to have material goods. He never said that it is a sin to have money. But dearly beloved, money is never good enough. It cannot and it will never guarantee your happiness and your ease. Need I give you examples? I know that you have someone in mind right now, someone that you know who is very well to do. They may even be a millionaire or maybe even possibly a billionaire. And you know in their core, since they are rich, they are always wanting more and more and more and more. Essentially, they are the most miserable people who ever live. Because their anxiety is through the roof, because they never know what's going to happen with all their money and with all their goods. And actually, their thinking, as you will see today, their thinking is rather unstable because they are seeking after things that will not buy them happiness and will not provide for them ease of life. Great prosperity can be the cause of great wickedness. The rich fool shows us this morning. As Jesus tells this parable, it's abundantly clear to us that he's not only speaking to the Pharisees, but he's speaking to every person then and today who has placed money above everything else in their life. And ultimately, they are placing themselves above everything else in their life. The rich fool shows us this day how cold he is toward his neighbors. He thinks only of his own pleasure. Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. That's all about me, myself, and I. As we talk to the Bible class this morning, there we see the unholy Trinity. We just confess the Holy Trinity, but in this life there is an unholy Trinity, and it's me, myself, and I. You see, the earth brought forth a great abundance for this man. The rich fool thinks that he has produced all of this. God, in his grace and mercy, has blessed this man, but this man, he places himself above God. The rich fool kept saying, as you notice and as you look at the text, he keeps saying, I and my crops and my goods. It's I and my. Over and over and over again. 12 times by my count. It's all about me and my pleasure and my eating and my drinking and my world and everything about me. Then comes death. Death makes everything, yes, death makes everything in this life vanity of vanities. You heard today of material things that this man had, plenty of crops and other material goods. That applies to all of us also, because this parable can also apply to fame, success, status, friends, family, even yourself. Whatever you value in this life, whatever you value more than God, Jesus is telling you that you are a fool, just as he told this man in the parable. For a fool does not think right. A fool is unstable. A fool always places himself or herself first, and they never think of God and the great blessings that he has given to them. You see, dear ones, nothing in this world, nothing whatsoever, will ever make you fit for eternity. Therefore, Paul writes to the Colossians, and he also writes for us, set your minds on things above and not on things on earth. That's stable thinking. When we think of the things of heaven, then we're thinking right. When our mind is consumed about the things of this earth, then we're unstable. We're like this rich man who is toiling, who is working, who is trying to come to a reason within himself, and the reason is always wrong, because sin is always wrong, and it will always lead us to the wrong conclusion. And this is what this rich fool did. He tore down perfectly good barns and built new ones so he can show them off and store all of his stuff that wasn't his anyway. You see, nothing of this world will ever remove your sin. You cannot buy your way into heaven, and you cannot buy the forgiveness of your sins. Nothing in this world will ever justify you before a holy and just God. He does not care about your bank account, about what you have in your shed or your barn. He cares about your soul. Nothing of this world will ever obtain heaven for you. Nothing. What is certain? What is certain for the rich fool then and the rich fool today is that all the rich fools will be brought to nothing. For it is certain that we brought nothing into this world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. It was just back in February, dear ones, that we had a dear saint here laying in her casket. She was a dear saint of God. It looked like she was leaving this world with nothing. But actually, since she was a saint of God and not a fool, she was leaving with everything. She was leaving with her Lord Jesus Christ, and he welcomed her into his kingdom. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, Velma. Inherit the kingdom that has been prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Yet there are thousands and millions of fools today who will die thinking that they have purchased everything, but they've lost heaven. Really, what they have purchased is God's condemnation, and they will live in hell forever. Living in hell with ever, forever and ever with nothing whatsoever. But dear ones, your Lord Jesus Christ has made you rich. He has given you a rich life in God. Jesus had no earthly possessions. Remember, he lived in poverty, shame, suffering, and ultimately in death. Yet your Lord Jesus, in his meekness, in his love, in his forgiveness, has given you everything. He has given you the kingdom of God. God became man. God became man to carry each and every one of your burdens and to make death harmless for you. Remember back in February, you heard these words. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Just as he gave the victory to Velma, he gives the same victory to you and me. In your Lord Jesus Christ, your sin is forgiven. Righteousness is given to you freely as a gift. And eternal life in Jesus Christ is a guarantee to you. What you could never, ever do for yourselves, dear ones, Jesus did in your place and won for you the riches of heaven. He won for you riches that will never rust or fade. He won for you riches that will never be taken from you. They are yours, and they are yours for all eternity. All these blessings of your Father are sealed in the death and resurrection of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's richness in God. and he has done this for you. Dear ones, once again, today, your Lord Jesus Christ is here, and he's dwelling amongst sinners, and I being the chief sinner of all. And what is he doing? He's teaching. Just as you heard in the gospel lesson, Jesus is teaching. He's teaching you what it means to belong in faith in his name. He's teaching you what you have received in the waters of holy baptism. He's teaching you what you will receive each time you are invited to his table, and here he is present to serve you, body and blood, for the forgiveness of all your sins, for life and salvation. He's always, and he will continue to teach each of you the forgiveness of your sins and all the gifts that he gives to you. For in his life you have life. For in his death he defeated death for you. So finally, Jesus is delivering to you by the power of the Holy Spirit all that he accomplished for you, for you, for all of you. He did this by his sacrifice upon the cross. When Jesus teaches, he feeds. And when Jesus feeds, he nourishes. And when Jesus nourishes, he makes you rich in God. So that on the day that your Father requires of you your soul, he will not call you a fool. Rather, he will say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You can stand before me in innocence and in blessedness and in righteousness because of what my Son has done for you. And for the sake of my Son, and for the sake of your Savior Jesus Christ, for the shedding of his most holy and precious blood." That's a high price. That's a high price that he did for you and gave for you. And it's by the shedding of his blood that he has made you rich. For in the riches of God, dear ones, you have the forgiveness of all your sins. And therefore, all your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen.